was actually spit up on the land out of being in the belly of a whale for 3 days. You know, I'm just crazy enough to believe that God created the earth. I'm crazy enough to believe that he created the universe. I'm crazy enough to believe that he's omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. And I'm just crazy enough to believe that he speaks and whatever he says happens. And I believe he did get a hold of this wayward prophet. When he came to land there, it was about a 3-day journey for him to get to the place he was supposed to. And when he got there, he convinced those people by preaching because he had an experience. You know, sometimes, and listen to me, trust me, sometimes when you're in the belly of a whale, you'll get closer to God than any other time in your life. And when you come out, you're not the same guy. Jonah came to land, and with a new fervor, a new power, and a new anointing, he preached to these people. But he didn't preach to them the way people sometimes picture God. A lot of times people think God likes to inflict pain and destroy people, and that's the furthest. How could someone who took the only thing that could not be replaced, his son, who was God with him, and gave him for our sins, how could someone that loved us so much, and I said it this morning, that he bankrupt heaven for us, how could he not be kind and benevolent? So he sends a prophet, and the prophet warns them, and they take heed to the prophet. Without the king's approval, for 3 days, they have a fast, 3 nights and days. The king finds out about it and joins in and says, I'll make this a national deal. They say, you don't have to. We're doing it voluntarily. After 3 days, God not only spared that nation, but he caused a revival to come into that nation. And when you look at rabbinic history, and I study a lot, that revival from a 3-day fast lasted 100 years. Has anyone ever heard of General George Hassat, besides Pastor Dave? He was one of Saddam Hussein's generals. I know the man. He's a child of God. He's a result of the Nineveh revival after centuries. You see, the presence of God lingers. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's who Saddam Hussein wanted to destroy, was Christians more than anything. And he was a general. And when they would meet together in a group, he literally told me that when the word came about a plan, the other generals were just yes men, but the Holy Spirit would speak to him and he would warn this man, as evil as he was, don't do this, don't do that. And one day Saddam Hussein came to him and said, the only reason you're alive, because I know you're a Christian. The only reason you're alive is every time you say something's going to happen, your God makes that happen. That's the 20th century, the 21st century. You believe God's still alive? You think he's still doing well? You see, when you fast, you change your world. Not fasting a dietary fast like the world does. There's so many trends on fasting today. I'm talking about when you fast before God. And I want to tell you something. If you think the last 27 days God hasn't paid attention to this church and for the ongoing rest of the year as individuals take a week a year, I'm assuring you, I can tell you this without a question and doubt, that God's blessings will rest on this house. And it'll be because of you, because of your commitment. So I just want to tell you that though we celebrate with this time of breaking the fast, because after a while it's time to break the fast. I remember one time, several years ago, we were having this fast and I was going to continue with it because I felt like I was supposed to as your shepherd and pastor. And about April, the Lord said to me one day, okay, your fast is over. I don't hear the voice of God, believe me, but I know that impression. And in my spirit, I thought, what do you mean? I'm really showing my righteousness here. He said, that's the problem. The fast is about you now, not about me, so it's over. See, here comes a time when we show up, God says, that's enough. But as long as we allow God to show up, He's going to do things with it. Do you believe that? So I want you to stay in deep prayer. This year, if you have any major questions, if you have any major decisions to make, if you have any situations that come up in your home, your life, your family, your health, take time to fast. I teach fasting. I believe in it strongly. Take time to take a 24-hour period or a 48-hour period and fast before God. When Jesus first started his ministry, he went into the desert, led by the Holy Spirit, for 40 days and 40 nights. And there in his fasting before God, it wasn't a battle between he and Satan. That battle had been won a long time ago. In that time where Jesus was fasting, he was in a place where his humanity, you see, he's called the incarnate God. That means God in the flesh. He was bringing his flesh under control for his Father. God embodied in a man brought himself under submission to his Father. What an example. But it was in that 40-day fast that gave him the power in the humanity side of him to be strong and powerful the rest of his 3.5-year ministry. A lot of times, sometimes a person told me, well, the devil at least got him for 40 days. Well, you don't know the Bible very well. Because when you read Acts chapter 1, the Bible says that after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, he came back and walked among his people. And it's coincidental for 40 days. You see, Satan won't rob a minute of your time when you give it to God. You believe that? He won't do it. So submit yourself to God. Church, pray. Pray that the Holy Spirit draws people in our house. Pray the Holy Spirit uses you. Pray that he speaks to you outside of the walls of this place, that you can't keep what's in you. I'm not talking about holding somebody down in Walmart and shouting to the top of your voice and embarrassed. I'm talking about when the opportunity to witness comes, witness. Don't go read a book on how to witness, please. Well, I don't know how. Tell them about you. There's no greater testimony in the world than your salvation. How I came to know Jesus Christ. If it was a child, or if you just live most of your life without God and then you become a follower of Jesus, just tell them your story. Then turn it over to the Holy Spirit. It's amazing what he can do when we aren't involved. We're just tools and instruments. Amen? Amen. Now, I'm not going to keep you. I enjoyed the singing. I always do. I want to tell you this, your faithfulness. I ask you to help me. Not me. This isn't my church. This is our church. I want you to understand, if you're new here, many pastors today, and it's their business. I'm not being critical, yes or no. Many pastors today, when they start a church like this, they'll put their name in there, and it's kind of like their nest egg, and then when they retire, you all have to buy it. I didn't do that. I wanted to be right before God. This church is a corporation, and you own as much of it as I do. So when I ask you for something, it's for all of us to come together. And I ask you, and we all came together. Ruth and I gave you, did. We got the money for the lights. Would you like to see one? Look at this. Isn't this beautiful? Don't break it, Pastor. This is the lights. It's going to replace all these big yellow fellas up here that are 80 bucks an hour, and this is pennies on the dollar. And tomorrow morning, they're starting to put them in. So when we turn these lights off right now, they're something, I forget, I don't care what they call them because I don't like them, but when you turn them off, they're off. You flip them on and it's dark for 10 or 15 minutes, warming up. That's going to be gone. We're going to have a dimmer switch in the back. We can turn them up or turn them down. Isn't that nice? And they're white light, they're not yellow, and it's going to be much brighter if we want it, or if it's the right setting for some reason we want them dim, we can have them. But I am so thankful to God and for us all doing this together. Can you give yourself a hand? Amen. I haven't forgotten you people online because I never preached to just us. I preached to you. In fact, during the COVID outbreak, that's all I did preach just to you. It was the strangest feeling in the world to come to church. There were 11 of us here, and we never fudged much. I think one time we were 13 and we thought we was all going to get put in prison. But we had our little praise team. Our sound guy, Ed, was back there, and Brian or somebody, or Lonnie was running there. Gary helped back there on different times. And we worshiped, and I preached to an empty church, the strangest feeling. But after a while, I kind of got to liking it. Until I remembered what it was like to have you back. There's nothing like the family. Amen? There's just nothing like it. Being in the house of God. So if you're not here tonight and you're just laying out, shame on you. If you can't come, I understand. I've got your back, okay? These are going to be put in. We're going to have a great time. And I just think that we need to, we've eaten enough probably, amen? I can see Alka-Seltzer country. I can see it. We've had a wonderful time. The food is great. Fellowship's been great. I think it's time to go home. After all, you all help us clean this mess up. It just takes a minute. But I'd like to do something. Ed, turn this great Sennheiser on. Is it on? Is it hot? It says pulpit. 1, 2. I'd like to sing Amazing Grace. What a wonderful song. You know why I like to sing Amazing Grace? Because His grace is amazing. Someone said, what is grace? Grace is the bridge between humanity and divinity. Between me being frail and impossible. I couldn't live right. I couldn't be right before God 30 minutes until I'd mess up. I've got to have something that bridges me to God that He accepts. And it's His invention, His creation. He owns the sole rights on a marvelous thing called grace. Grace, God's grace. So stand up. This is going to be our amen. Eddie, come up here and lead us in Amazing Grace. I like to catch you off. And you can just pick any chord you want. Sing with us. Sing with Eddie.
Amazing grace, how sweet.
Sing it from your heart. Let it be your ministry. Your testimony.
A wretch like me, I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, oh, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. The first one, one more time.
Yes, amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved. Was blind, but now
Father God, we thank you for that amazing grace. We thank you for the love and goodness that you show us every day. Now, God, go with us. Make us a light in the darkness. Make us hope to hopelessness. Give us peace, God, that we can share. Love that we can share. Grace and forgiveness that we can share. And let us be an absolute mirror image of the life and the heart of Jesus tomorrow and every day. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. I really would appreciate if you big strong-armed men would help us and you very strong-armed ladies would help us clean up. We're going to put everything back so we'll have church. God bless you. Thank you. Hey, you all, Boone said that we can push all the chairs to the wall because they're going to have a lift in here doing all the lights. So, men, that'll be easier. If you don't mind, just put the seats to the wall. We'll put the tables back up, clean things off, go home and come back with new lights next Sunday. God bless you.